This is Jim Field.
LaVon Eblen.
And this is your Nishna Valley. A rainy Nishna Valley. What's up with that?
Oh, it is great. But you know that means you got to get the lawnmower out again.
I know. Who came up with that idea?
Yeah.
You know, what a weird place we live in, huh?
But that's, you know, we can talk about the weather. It's going to be different all the time. I was telling somebody who was, the person who does the CSA, I said, wouldn't it be nice to have a normal year? And we sort of looked at each other and said, what is that? We haven't seen what we think of as a normal year for years.
You know, and I used to use terms like that, too, with the folks in the weather industry, and they quickly told me that we don't use terms like normal. We call it average.
Average. That's based on facts.
That's right. There is no normal. We average things out and tell you this is probably what you should be. But, you know, our weather has kind of been compartmentalized here this year. A lot of rain in the spring, none in the summer, and then we're starting to get more rain now in the fall season as we get closer and closer here to harvest all of a sudden. You know, the first day of fall is what, this Sunday?
Yes, so, it is. And I'm not sure everybody's going to be happy about that. Although so far, the farmers I've talked to are smiling because of the rain because, I mean, you've got to think ahead in terms of that ground moisture. It was nil, I think. I haven't really heard any reports about that, but it had to be down to...
Well, and I can only imagine that some of the yield might be affected to a certain extent by some of the dry weather we had. But really, there was a lot of moisture in the soil when the season got started. The early part of the season looked great. And, you know, if you look at the crops today, well, they're not supposed to look great today. It's getting close to harvest.
It's getting close to harvest, you know, and they're certainly turning.
Yeah.
But, again, and, you know, you really can't tell till you get out there and harvest. But I have heard quite a few of them say, well, the corn ears didn't fill out. You know, there's going to be corn there, but they didn't fill out. The bean pods weren't filling out. It's just a matter, I think, of when they got them planted and a whole lot of other things.
You know, last year, though, I heard a number of producers worried to death because we were so dry about what an awful harvest it might be and all the news reports and all the talk and gossip and stuff, how bad it was going to be. And then after harvest, all I heard about was how surprised they were with how much better the yield was than they thought.
Yes.
So maybe we'll have the same thing.
Maybe. We can only wait and see what happens.
You bet. Well, yeah. Those are really big gardens. What about your garden? How'd yours go this year? You had a pretty good year in your garden, didn't you?
The most interesting part of gardens is the fruit. They have just gone crazy. And I haven't asked any professional, but I think all that early rain plus no late frost to kill all the blossoms. You know, I'm sure you've heard people talking about the branches are breaking. The branches are way bent over because there's been so many peaches, apples, aronia berries. It's just crazy. And now I hear all the people talking about tomatoes. I've had a number of people call me and say, who can I give my tomatoes to? They're going to waste because I have picked everything. I have canned. I have frozen. There's still so many great tomatoes. What can I do with them? And I think everybody's kind of in the same situation. I mean, there are churches, there are different places that can use the excess produce, but I think they've been excessed out. But hey, we shouldn't complain about that. I know you've been enjoying tomatoes from various sources, and they just are still going crazy until frost.
Man. And some of them are humongous this year. And really good. And they've lasted longer than I typically have noticed, too. I think it's been a pretty good year for the tomato crop.
Absolutely.
We keep getting, I mean, we were getting lots of them from friends. You had several baskets of, especially those little round, those
and
little
cherries.
And we're
bringing more. Oh. You just look forward to that.
Yeah, a little cherry. I mean, so all these kinds of things that keep coming in. If I was running a Mexican restaurant, I'd be making salsa like it was coming out of my ears.
And people are doing that.
Yeah.
Yes. And
the nice thing,
you know, you can can it, you can freeze it. You know, there are some ways to preserve it. But pretty soon your space gets filled up too and time runs out.
Yeah.
But lots of opportunities. And then I don't know if this will happen much this year. But there are lots of ways to use green tomatoes, and I'm thinking come the end of the season, there's going to be many green tomatoes, too. So lots of possibilities. But, you know, gardening just continues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, okay, we're going to close it down now, and you have to start pulling things. But then there's all the cleanup work to do and getting ready for fall and winter. And then, of course, yeah, maybe you take a little break, and then all the catalogs start coming, and you get ready for the next year. And, it, you know, it's a continual process. It maybe the workload varies a little. But looking at what's new in the market, what do you want to try out? Because some people always try something new. Now, that's part of their planning, is got to try something new. And then there's the good old standbys, you know, that you want to rely on. So, yeah, it's soon going to be, I'm looking at some of my flowers, for instance, I'm thinking in the pots. Yeah, I think it's about ready to dump those, put them in my compost pile and, you know, move on. But, yeah, there's always something to do.
Well, that's kind of the neat thing about gardening, too, because when you use a term like gardening, everybody immediately has a picture in their mind, and everyone's is different.
Absolutely. It could be a teeny tiny little space, or it could be acres. So, yes, and almost everybody can do that. From if it's just one tiny little pot, almost everybody can if they want to do some gardening.
You know, I've been surprised how many young people I hear talking about gardening and fresh produce and things like that that they wanted to be able to create. Because, you know, you think of young people and you think, well, how do you do that with a computer? You know,
yeah.
They do everything with cell phones and computers. Why would they want to spend time out in nature getting back in touch with things?
Maybe that's the balance. You know, they've spent so much time indoors that they want to get out there. And that then means, and I'm sure you've heard this too, many more people are interested in food preservation. Mm-hmm. And my that's really great. My concern is that they have the correct information, because maybe what grandma did is not quite the thing that should be done now. But there's lots of sources out there, and of course Iowa State University Extension is one of the best. But you can go online, just make sure it's a credible source. You can't depend on everything online, right?
Well, no, and there's a fine line between, you know, feeding the family and poisoning the
yes.
family. So one's good, one not so much. So, you know, be careful with those things too.
Yes.
But does it take a lot of preparation? Is there downtime then? If you're one who loves to garden and really looks forward to next year, is there much downtime at all? Do you take a little bit of time off now, or do you start to plan right away?
Well, I think I'm going to guess most people take some time now. Not yet. It probably after frost, because you're still doing lots of cleanup and so on. And some things actually shouldn't be taken care of. You know, if people go out and start covering up, mulching and so on, that really shouldn't be done until the ground starts to get really cold. So, you know, that extends into November, et cetera. And some new trees should be watered in December.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of depends on you. So, but I think, to me, downtime starts in November, December, January, and then you start getting excited. But it's mostly in the catalogs then, before you start really getting out there and work. But then pruning, you know, if you have trees to prune, can be done almost any time.
Oh, and really easier in the winter time when you can see the branches, right. So they're not covered with leaves.
And early, before it gets spring, actually is the best time to do a lot of pruning.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always something you can do.
And I know a lot of those tree experts say that, you know, when you're going to prune, remember, pruning is not topping. Topping
right.
is a bad word in the tree industry.
Right.
But if you're going to do some pruning, for a few reasons. The winter time is really the best time to do that, because there are no leaves. You can see actually what you're doing. And also because the ground is solid. And if you need to, for example,
put up a ladder or
drive a truck on the yard to do that,
absolutely.
You can do that without creating all kinds of problems in the yard, too.
Right.
So it might be a time to start thinking about those things. And before the heavy snow sits on some of those branches that are directly over your home, you don't want those to come down.
Take a look at those. That's right. So, there's almost always something to do.
Always something. Yeah, you bet. Well, I hope you enjoyed and had a good year. I suppose, like you talk about the glut of tomatoes some folks had, it's probably kind of like the hot weather we had, too. Folks, we like to complain about it when it's here. Oh, boy, I can't wait till it cools down. Gee whiz, this 95-degree heat's killing me. But in a couple of months, it'll be 20 degrees, and we'll be saying, gee, I wish it were warm like it was last summer. I suppose the tomato thing is the same way.
Kind of the same way. I wish I had those.
I have a lot of them right now. I don't know what to do with them. I wish I didn't have so many. But in a couple of months, it'll be, boy, I miss those tomatoes.
Right, those fresh sliced tomatoes. What can be better than that?
Yeah. we kind of have our way of swinging back and forth when it comes to those emotions.
And part of it's just we have to have something to talk about.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. And you talk about gardening and things like that, too. One of the other things is your lawn, too. I mean, a lot of folks are taking much better care of their lawns. I've always said there are two different ways of looking at your lawn. There's mowing your lawn, and then there's cutting the grass. and I think you maybe can figure out what the difference is. I mean, some folks just go out and zip through it because it doesn't matter. I just want it knocked down. And But then there are folks who really take a lot of time and effort and money.
And pride in having this lush lawn that looks good all the time.
And there are some things you can do this time of the year to help yourself out. Folks think of a lawn as being a project that starts in the spring, and it really doesn't. If you want a good lawn in the spring, it starts now. So one of the things that you may want to take a look at is the height that you actually mow. About 2 inches tall in this part of the country is best this time of the year for most grasses. So, you know, usually you want to cut it just slightly shorter in the autumn to help the grass from matting down underneath all the leaves and snow. And, you know, some folks sometimes like to leave it a little longer in the winter, but actually that can cause you more problems because that's more matting and stuff that happens, and it can kill some of the stuff underneath. Watering. Didn't need to do it yesterday, or this last couple of days anyway, because we had some rain here recently. But
if we have a dry spell now for a couple weeks, you probably need to get the watering out again.
Early morning is the best time if you're going to do any irrigating. In the evening encourages fungal diseases. You don't want to do that. Overseeding also, especially some of the warm season lawns with ryegrass, is not a bad idea either. In this part of the country, they suggest overseeding thin lawns or large dead areas and then keep the newly seeded sections moist while the seeds are sprouting. Little sprinklings once in a while are best instead of a big soaker on the lawn. If you soak it, then the roots tend not to grow down. They just tend to stay right there, and they know the water's coming. Fertilizing is great. This is the best time of the year, actually, to fertilize your lawn. If you live in this part of the country, cool season grasses like the bluegrass, fescue, ryegrass, all those things respond well to feeding early this time of the year, in September, again, late in the fall, maybe October or into November. It helps them green up earlier and then look better in the spring, too. So this time of the year, that's really the best time of the year to get some stuff going there. You want to attack those perennial weeds, too. This time of the year is the best time to do it, whether you use like 2,4-D or MCCP, something with glyphosate in it, some sort of an herbicide. Those things work best. Days with moderate temperatures, when the soil is just a little moist, is the best time to do those things. Oh, they're hard to get rid of. You got to keep after them, though.
Yes, you can't just do it once and say that's done.
No.
Those seeds are there forever.
Yes, they are. And if you doubt it, I mean, you could go out back and build a structure, put a concrete slab down, and build a small shed. 20 years later, tear that out, and that same weed will pop again, or the native grasses and things. It's amazing. They stay there forever. Repairing dead patches, maybe laying sod, all those kinds of things are good to do this time of the year. Thatch, this is a good time of the year for that. We did that to our front yard. We dethatched. That's a fun process to go through, but it needs to be done. So, you know, what's the best way to do that is take a knife, a sharp knife, and go out and cut just a small triangle out of your yard straight down, and then pull it out and take a look at it. Dig it a few inches deep, and then take a look at it. And if you have, you know, like an inch or 2 inches of thatch before you get to the good brown dirt, you got a problem. And you want to get rid of that. So you can go out and get one of those big dethatching units, and it cuts through. It takes out all that debris and stuff. You got to rake it up and remove it. But then after that, then you're going to overseed and do all those things and take care of business.
So you've had personal experience with dethatching?
Plenty over the last few years. It builds up. If you keep a nice lawn and you fertilize on a regular basis and do something, eventually you're probably going to run into that. But you need to keep ahead of it. Aeration is a good thing this time of the year. If you're going to aerate, the best way to do it, though, is with a plug aerator, one that actually pulls the plugs out of the ground. If you just use a tine that sticks in the ground and makes a hole, all you're doing is compacting all the soil around it. So something else you might want to consider. And then top dressing after you do that, too, to make sure you fill all that in. And I know it is a terrible job. I hate raking leaves, but you need to do that. If you leave the leaves and then the snow comes in over the top of them, it can really do some serious damage to your lawn. That's not the way to compost. There's a better way to do that.
That's one advantage of living in the country. They just all blow away.
Yeah.
And not on your neighbor's yard.
No, they blow someplace else.
Yes,
yeah, lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, those are kinds of things you need to take care of. But if you want a good lawn in the spring, now might be the best time to think about it.
You bet.
Absolutely. So do all that while you're planting that garden for next year, too. Hey, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we've got plenty of things to do for you here in the area. We'll check them out right after this.
Whether you're a patient we're seeing regularly for chemo treatments, attending one of our diabetes clinics, or a couple about to have your first baby, at Cass County Memorial Hospital, we think about your health 365 days a year.
What you eat is a big part of your health and wellness. Heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers are linked to what you eat. This is Emily Kringle, registered dietitian at Cass County Memorial Hospital for the past 36 years. Eating plenty of whole grains, vegetables, and fruits, along with substituting fish for one serving of red meat a week, will help give your body the fuel it needs to support you in an active, healthy lifestyle.
Whether we're setting a broken bone in our emergency department or providing rehab services after a long illness, we're here to help you feel better. Cass County Memorial Hospital. Neighbors caring for neighbors.
Okay, time to get back to work here. We've got a few things going on. I know you've got a few things here coming up here this weekend.
Right away, this Sunday, that's the 22nd. I can't believe it's the 22nd. And as you mentioned earlier, it is the first day of fall on the 22nd. So what's happening? The second annual Avoca Auto Show is set for Sunday, September 22nd at the Edgington Memorial Park. And registration will run from 8 to noon with a show running from 12 to 4. That's happening in Avoca. And the Adair Lions Club is having a spaghetti dinner. You know, you can eat different places all fall long because there's just lots of good stuff. A spaghetti dinner, including salad, bread, desserts, drinks, Sunday, September 2nd, beginning at 11, ending at 1, and that's at the Adair City Hall. And the proceeds are going to purchase a book for each AC elementary student. So those are things happening the 22nd. That's this Sunday that we're talking about.
You know, that's the nice thing about this time of the year is you can go out and eat someplace almost every night without spending a fortune and without doing dishes.
That's true. And having great food.
You bet. It's not a bad deal. Hey, the 6th annual Westphalia Volunteer Fire Department Gun Show has been going on this weekend. It continues here on Sunday, September 22nd from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. And that's at the St. Boniface Catholic Parish Center in Westphalia. Admission is $5. They have all kinds, over 50 tables of guns, ammo, knives, collectibles, and things. It's a buy-sell trade and browse event. They have smoked pork sandwiches and lots more there as well. So stop on by the St. Boniface Parish Center in Westphalia for the Volunteer Fire Department's annual gun show. And that's going on yet this Sunday, the 22nd. Some other activities going on here on the 22nd this Sunday include the Exira Fire Department's annual open house. They'll have water fights at 1 o'clock and then a free will donation meal at 5, and that's at the fire station. Also this Sunday, the 22nd, the St. Patrick's Parish in Walnuts Fall Dinner will be held. That'll be from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Now, the menu will feature Staley's chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy, vegetable, salad, roll, and pie. And the cost is $10 for adults. It's $6 for children 10 and under, and preschoolers are free. And carryouts are available, too. The telephone number for that, if you'd like to jot that down quick, is 712-784-3388. Also this Sunday, the Grant United Methodist Church is holding its annual bazaar. Now, the events begin at 10 a.m. on Sunday with a worship featuring the music of Brooke Turner. After the service, the church will have a home-cooked meal from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m., and they'll feature ham balls, roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, Harvard beets, buttered corn, assorted salads, pies, desserts, and drink. All of that for $8 for adults. $3.50 for children 12 and under, and the proceeds benefit the Grant United Methodist Women and their work for their mission projects, as well as the Grant Church. And an auction will be held as well, featuring handmade crafts and rugs, fresh garden produce, baked goods, and more. It's amazing they can make any money doing these for as cheaply as they do.
All volunteer labor, that helps.
Oh boy, does it ever. The Bowman Chapel United Methodist Church Harvest Dinner and Bazaar will be held at the chapel in Guthrie Center. From 11 to 1:30, they'll serve roast beef, sweet corn, green beans, mashed potatoes and gravy, salads and pies for your free will donation. And then the bazaar will be held. There'll be a silent auction for a king-size quilt. The bazaar will feature homegrown produce, salsa, pickles, spaghetti sauce, noodles, jams and jellies, breads, bars, pies, and snack mixes. Whew, sounds like a tailgate party to me. The craft corner will feature hand-sewn table runners, embroidered dish towels, and some other unique items as well. So all that going on. Also, the Exira Community Club Spaghetti Lunch fundraiser for the Rec Reno Project will be held on Sunday, the 22nd. They'll be serving spaghetti, salad, garlic bread, dessert, and drink, all for your free will donation. That'll be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that's this Sunday, the 22nd, at the Exira Rec Center. The Iowa Bluebird Conservationists will be holding their meeting on Sunday at the Indian Creek Museum. Now, their address is 59258 380th Street. I don't expect you to remember all that.
But the town is?
Hastings, Iowa. So just go by Hastings. And
I think
ask someone.
You could find it.
I bet you'll find it. The meeting starts at 1 o'clock, and if you have any questions, Pam Scholes is the person to call. 712-778-2397. And that is open to the public as well. And don't forget, this Sunday, the 22nd, is the second and final day of the 37th Annual Green Ridge Steam and Gas Engine Show that continues near Irwin. Now, on Sunday, the 22nd, you can enjoy a pancake breakfast in the morning, followed by a non-denominational church service, an old-fashioned hymn sing, and there'll be a parade in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. There'll be lots of activities, demonstrations, food, and vendors. The cost is just $5, and that got you in for both days. It was a Saturday event as well. Children under 8 are free. They have camping, handicap parking, all available. And if you're wondering where in the world is the Green Ridge Steam and Gas Engine Show, well, I'll tell you. From Irwin, you go 1 mile south, and then 1 mile west, and then another mile and a half south, and that'll get you there. And I'm guessing you probably follow some signs, too.
I think they have it well marked.
Pretty sure they do. So I hope they have a good time there, too. I bet you hear lots of sounds you don't much hear anymore. Some good stuff there. Also, some other events and activities and things coming up. On Thursday the 26th, the annual Kiwanis Ministers Appreciation Luncheon will be held, and that'll be at the Heritage House at noon. Now, the YMCA board president, Christina Bateman, will be providing some insights on how church members and community organizations can work together on projects to enhance relationships, efficiencies, and community service results. They do ask pastors and Kiwanis members to RSVP so that they can plan on the lunch and things. So you can contact Clayton Breddy at Roland Funeral Service to do that. And they do ask for folks to try to encourage your minister to attend that event. That's coming up on Thursday. You got something on Thursday,
I do have
too.
Something on Thursday, and it's going to be pretty important to the CAM people who are in band. They are having a soup supper to raise money for some new uniforms. The high school band has doubled in size since last year. So, of course, some new uniforms are needed, and the cost is estimated at $10,500. So come out and help support getting those new band uniforms. So that's a soup supper, 5 to 6:45. There'll be potato soup, chili, and bars for a free will donation. And I'm looking for the place. It's for CAM, and the music boosters there are doing that. I don't see a place. Interesting. Call a CAM school. They can tell you. Call one of the schools. If I'm just looking this over, I don't see, again, a place for that. Anyhow, we need to help those students get their band uniforms.
Oh, yeah, it'll be held before the homecoming coronation services there, too. So, probably at the school,
I'm guessing. I'm guessing, at the school.
Also, this Thursday, there's a program called Are We Prepared to Care? This will be held from 8 until 9:30 a.m. at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. So if you have an aging family member or someone with a disability or someone's been sick or injured, do you know what's all involved? That's what they're looking for, is to share some information there. So you can stop by there and learn more about that. That's sponsored by a whole bunch of different groups and organizations here locally.
And also on the 27th, another place you can get something to eat at the KC Women's Club Produce and Bake Sale. That's happening on the 27th, 8 a.m. to noon at the KC Community Building. And you can sit down and have coffee and sweets served there at the same time, but you can buy things to take home. And you can also get your flu shot that morning. Again, that's Friday, September 27th, 8 to noon at the KC Community Building.
You bet. And plenty of things going on next week, and we probably should give you a quick rundown of some of the things going on. Saturday, I know there's some events going on here in the area.
Saturday is going to be a busy day with all kinds of things going on in the area. And again, we'll talk about Casey. They're having a steak fry. The fire department's having a steak fry 5 to 8 at Casey Fire Hall, and it includes a hot dog dinner if you want that rather than the steak dinner, and there'll be raffle tickets from the firefighters. So that's on Saturday the 28th, and it's at the Casey Fire Hall to have a steak dinner or a hot dog dinner. And then, this is one of my favorite things. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I attended this last year, and so I had the experience of going to the Lake Anita Oven, Dutch Oven Cast Iron Cook-Off. Unbelievable what you can cook in those things over a fire. Now, so this is happening the 28th at the Anita State Park. They'll all be kind of there in one area. And from noon to 4, and there are different categories. So you can have a main dish, you can have bread, you can have dessert, all made in those cast iron pots over the fire. And if you want to enter, you know, it's fun to be one of the entries and cook in one of those or whatever those categories. You can do all three if you want to. And there are prizes. So if you don't want to cook, go and eat. Try it all out. Happening at the Anita State Park, Lake Anita State Park. If you need information, contact Kathy Melander. And you can go online to get to her, jim.kathy.melander@gmail.com, or Josh Peach at the park there, or Wendy Whitrock. So you've got some people to contact. If you want to enter, be sure to be getting that done. Otherwise, just go and enjoy.
Yeah. Volunteer to be a judge. That's the best
part
about
those. You are a judge because
right.
The prizes are given by vote.
Bet.
So you are a judge when you go and eat.
You walk right in. You're right involved.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Just a few other things going on next Saturday, the 28th as well. Exira's Fall Festival will be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There'll be gazebo entertainment throughout the day. They'll have a farmer's market featuring fresh produce, preserves, baked goods, gourds, squash, and pumpkins. Must be a good year for squash and gourds. I've seen a lot of them. There'll be hay rides, a pumpkin run walk, a petting zoo, lots of children's activities, and a rock climbing wall. Antique and restored tractors will be displayed. There'll be many vendors in the Lions Building and the Rec Center. That's the Exira Fall Festival next Saturday, the 28th. Also next Saturday, a hot dog luncheon fundraiser will be held. This is a fundraiser for Relay for Life. It'll be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Camblin Edition in Sunnyside Park in Atlantic. So you can enjoy hot dogs, chips, soda, water, and cotton candy for $3 per meal and an extra buck if you'd like an extra hot dog or soda. The event is hosted by the Lewis Life Preservers. And then also next Saturday, Arise, the Atlantic Rock Island Society Enterprise, will be hosting an open house at the American Legion Memorial Building, which most folks know is the old National Guard Armory here at 201 Poplar Street in Atlantic. They'll have military vehicles displayed. There'll be lots of things that you can see. Steve Livengood is the one who's the contact person for that. If you have some military stuff you'd like to display or you'd like more information, you can contact him.
And I'll just add, one of the things you can see, may not get excited about this, but the bathroom renovations, men's and women's, is complete. You need to come see, because that's an ongoing process there. And so bathrooms are pretty important, and there's something to see. You might be surprised at the colors. They're not pink and blue. No, they're not.
Well, it's kind of nice to see the old building getting back in shape.
Absolutely.
Again, because it was in pretty bad shape for a while.
It was, and it almost disappeared, actually.
Well, and it's a part of the history of the community. So those types of facilities are in all communities that they sit in. So it's important that folks take the time not just to throw away things like we tend to.
Right.
You bet. You got any birthdays over there?
I do. So we want to be sure we say happy birthday to these folks. And the first one I want to mention is Dorothy Randrees. September 22nd is her 90th birthday, and her family's requesting a card shower to help her celebrate. Dorothy's address is 311 Chicago Street, apartment 3 in Audubon. And again, that's Dorothy Randrees. Happy birthday for her 90th birthday on the 22nd. Also on the 22nd at the Friendship Home, Sam Hahn is celebrating a birthday. And then at the Exira Care Center on the 24th, we need to say happy birthday to Esther Kesselring. And at Salem Lutheran Home, happy birthday to Vera Laver. That's on the 22nd. And on the 24th, happy birthday to Robert Allen.
Very good. Well, congratulations to those folks. We hope they have great days, hopefully with some friends and family involved. And I don't have any anniversaries. We don't have any babies to tell you about.
Oh, people need to tell us.
Yeah, they do. So if you have any of those, you can always send them to us here. Just send them to KJAN, P.O. Box 389, Atlantic, Iowa, 50022. You can fax the information to us if you'd like, 712-243-3937. If you want to email the items to us, you can do that too, if you're so inclined, KJAN@METC.net. Or you could go to our website at KJAN.com and fill out the contact information page, and that'll send it right to us as well. Or you can have your ugly cousin drop it off here at the studios. closed Monday through Friday, regular business hours, 8 to 5.
And we do have people every once in a while stop by just to hand information, and that's wonderful.
We do. We get an ugly cousin once in a while.
Yeah.
Do you have any ugly cousins?
I'm not commenting
saying.
On that.
I'm trying to get you in trouble. It's not working.
I know.
Well, very good. Well, make sure you get us that information so we can share it with others. And keep listening. We appreciate you being with us here this weekend. That's all the time we have. This is Jim Field.
And LaVon Eppelin.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.